Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, everybody, to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is May 24th, 2023. Time is 19:01 in the evening, obviously. And joining me today is B-Man Jay. What's going on, dude?
Doing good. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing fantastic. Welcome back to the podcast. Did you get to go back and listen to your episode? Did you enjoy it?
Yes, it was good, and it got me hooked. I had never listened to any of your podcasts, so I've been starting from the beginning, and I've gone up through quite a few of them.
You started
at the
very beginning?
A lot of great information. As far as I could find back.
Wow.
So
That's a lot of binge listening, man, I'll tell you.
Well, I was doing hardwood floor, so I didn't have much else to do but sit there and listen, so you guys kept me busy.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I like to do with podcasts. I like to put them on while I'm doing something, whether I'm working on something or driving. It just helps to kind of pass that time. And if you absorb something along the way, it's great.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of great information, stuff that I hadn't thought about in years and other stuff that I've been teaching. And I'm like, well, you know what? I got to teach that again.
Right on. So B-Man reached out to me and said, hey, when are we going to do some episodes? And I'm like, I don't know. And he sent me a text message today saying, I should be available today to do something. And then he sent me a list of things he wanted to talk, we could talk about. And one of them stuck out to me that I thought was very on point for where we're sitting right now, which is training now versus learning later. And this really sticks out in my mind, mainly because of the youth we have today. And B-Man, I got to tell you, I had a conversation with my oldest boy maybe a week ago. And I said, you know, your generation kills me. It's absolutely ridiculous. I was like, you're walking around with these smartphones in your pockets where you have all this unlimited information that you could just Google or look up a YouTube how-to guide or a DIY on the internet. You could figure out anything. When I was his age, man, I had to go find someone who had a desktop computer that wasn't on dial-up, right, and actually physically search that stuff out. And back then, not a lot of people were internet savvy, so barely anybody was putting anything on the internet as far as DIYs. You had to, like, go dig through an online form to get the answers you want, and it might take you a week.
Want to be a guest on the show? Email itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's itsdoomsdaypodcast@gmail.com.
See, and you're younger than me because I remember having to go to the library and using the Dewey Decimal System to figure out that, you know, where the book was, and you're like 796.832. Oh, crap. I get to the 796, and there's so many. And then you had to go back and look again and write it down on a piece of paper, find the actual book, and then you're like, well, that's not the book I really wanted. Go back and look through the files again and try to find another book. Or you had to order it and wait 2-3 weeks before the library even got it. And then you're like, okay, now I can actually read it. But there was no hands-on. There was no video to show you exactly what was going on. So, yeah, you could run the world back then with one of these phones now. And, yeah, it's just people are so lazy that they don't have the drive to, you know, just go do some of these things. So that's where, you know, train now before, you know, it hits the fan, because you won't have all this, most likely. You won't have all that accessibility right in your pocket.
Right. I'm in agreement with you 100%. And what you just said is what I told my son. If I had this smartphone back in the day, I could have been running the world.
I mean, you can look up stuff all over the world, all the way back, you know, and then hypothesis of what's going on, all these college, you know, reports that are out on the internet. And it's just so much information and you can get lost. And I think that another problem is you start looking for one thing on the internet and, you know, 20 minutes later, you're not even near what you were looking at, or you go, what was I looking up? And because you're went down that rabbit hole.
Right. Yeah. And my wife was telling me something the other day. She said, you know, that most people don't know that Google has a page too. And I was like, wow, I haven't thought about that. But I remember that, you know, everything's so on point now to what you're searching. But back in the day, you might have to go to like the sixth or seventh page of Google to get the answer that you wanted.
Yep.
That's wow. Anyway, so yeah, guys, the point of this episode today is now is the time to really seek out and gain that knowledge while you can, while these devices are available, while the information's still free to obtain. And I'm someone that I like to buy books. Even if I know I don't have time to read it, I like to have it as a resource, as a guide for if I need it. So I have books on beekeeping, for example. I have books on brewing. I have books on all these different things that I know that I want to do someday, but, you know, don't have the time to do right now. And if the internet ever becomes a complete failure, which it may at some point, I've got that knowledge in paper form.
Yep. And that's good. And it's, you need to learn something new, plan on learning something new every day. And, you know, after the week's over, you might only realize you only learned 3 new things out of the week, but that's fine. At least you learn 3 new things or even 1 new thing every week. And it's when I go instruct at these different organizations or these groups or just individuals, so many times they're like, well, if I don't get it, I'll just show up at your place when it hits the fan. I'm like, well, you better show up with skills, food, and ammo, because if you don't have the skills, I won't have time to teach you during the aftermath. You need to learn this now. And they're like, well, I'll just come in there and, you know, I'll learn how to farm then. No, you're not going to learn how to farm then, because I won't have time to teach you. I'll be going, okay, go pull the weeds. Well, which one's a weed? You should have known that now, so that when it hits a fan, I don't have to sit there and hold your hand and go this one, that one, the other one. You need to learn it now.
Right, and I think a lot of people underestimate that. Trust me, I get people all the time to tell me, yeah, dude, I'm coming to your house when shit hits the fan, and I always tell them, no, you're not. Like, I'm not. Like, you'll get shot coming here. Like, that's what's going to happen. And, I mean, because here's the reality. I'm not doing all this work for everybody else. I'm doing it mainly for me. Mm-hmm. This podcast is what I'm doing for everybody else. If you listen, you'll be better prepared, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm that type of person. I'll get on the Google machine and I'll just start randomly searching and randomly looking things up that I'm interested in. And I'll come across these YouTube videos and I'll find things and I'll figure things out. There's not too much out there that you can't do with the power of these devices in your pocket. A year ago, if you would ask me how to grow shampooed ginger, I would have told you I have no idea. Now I have sprouts coming up.
Are you looking for something kick-ass to add to your closet? Reaper has the hookup for t-shirts, hoodies, button-ups, hats, beanies, and plenty of other badass products. You can check out Reaper Apparel Company at www.reaperapparelco.com and use code DOOM10 for 10% off. Jester only stands behind brands he believes in, and Dan at Reaper Apparel has a mission, and Jester is on board. Go check out www.reaperapparelco.com today and use code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire order. Why be a sheep when you can reap? Use code DOOM10 for 10% off at www.reaperapparelco.com today.
And you would have been going, what is shampoo ginger?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's so much information that's out there, and so much of it is free that, you know, when the internet started, everything was free because they were just trying to fill up the internet. But now you got to pay for a lot of stuff. But at least there's enough information out there to get you interested enough to go, okay, I want to dive deeper in this, or, okay, I'll leave that to somebody else because that's really not my forte, you know, but you need to get better at the skills that you have and then learn a couple new ones because you just don't know what type of aftermath we'll be living through.
Right. And honestly, like I tell people all the time as we're talking about these different preps or we're talking about gaining new skills, you know, test these things out and try them. And I mean, guys, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad idea to sit down and read this stuff in a book or learn about this stuff online, but you do have to apply this, right? You do have to physically go out and get hands-on. Like, you could read on the internet all day long about how to build a treehouse, but until you actually go out and you physically do it, you don't know what you're doing yet.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to take you a lot longer. One, if you start learning it now, it's going to take you a while to kind of get that muscle memory and to get the knowledge built up to know what you're doing. But in the aftermath, you know, you're going to be stressed. You're going to be, you know, worrying about other things versus, you know, growing a seed. You know, I got so many people that, oh, well, I buy the seed packs, you know, the Heritage seeds, which is great. But do you know if they actually work? You know, have you actually tried to grow stuff? Because it's not that easy to grow. And, you know, you may have a great year, but you might not. You know, some years are better than others on growing stuff. And then, you know, you need to rotate your garden because you can't grow potatoes in the same spot every time. Eventually, they're going to be smaller every year because the minerals in the soil that they're drinking up are not there. So you need to put a cover crop in, or you need to do a few different, you know, rotate your potatoes over to the other side, put, you know, the carrots over here. And that way it gets a better nutrition in the ground. You know, some plants will revitalize the ground. Other ones just suck it up and they never do anything. So that's why farmers, you know, you plant corn one year, then you plant soybeans the next year because it revitalizes the ground so that when you come back to the corn, you'll have a better harvest from it.
Right. And I'll tell you what, just since you got on the topic of growing, there's so many things I've learned probably in the last 5 years that I didn't know growing up. And, you know, I grew up in a farming community, but I never took an interest in this stuff. It was never something I ever cared about. But like exactly what you're talking about, the corn robs the soil of nitrogen. So they put the beans and stuff back in there to revitalize these crops. You know, the same thing goes with a lot of other things. And right now, like I know specifically on my property what I can grow that I'll have an abundance of. Right. I know that there's certain items that just do very well and there's other ones that don't do too well. So this year I'm focusing all my growing effort into the things that I know are going to do really well. Right.
Exactly. And your soil will have a different pH. So, you know, if it's really acidic, then you need to grow blueberries there. It's nothing else is really going to grow. So it's knowing your soil. And then right now is a great time to, you know, get the supplies to revitalize the soil. If you don't have good soil, if you're really, you know, up here on the ledge, I have great soil, you know, up further up the mountain, it's mostly rocky. So I just don't have anything that would probably grow there. Plus there's so many trees, it's not going to grow. So if I want to better that soil, then I'm going to have to go out and get triple 19 so that my hay field grows better. I have to get different things. And you can send off a soil test to most of the universities and they'll send it back and tell you what you need in the ground to be able to grow better food.
Right. That's understandable. Like, you know, just, I don't want to stick on this growing topic for too long, but this year is an experiment. I'm trying four different breeds of pumpkins just to see what'll do well, because at the end of the day, I might eat some pumpkin from that, but the goats will eat pumpkin. The chickens will eat pumpkin. Everything will eat pumpkin. Right. And they're very low maintenance. You don't have to do much maintenance with those.
No, just water mainly. And a good pollinator.
Right.
And pumpkin bread is one of my favorite things.
You know, I don't think I've ever had pumpkin bread.
Oh, you're missing out.
I've had pumpkin rolls.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a lot of stuff with the, it's called pumpkin puree or something. Basically, you're taking the insides of the pumpkin and you can throw them in Ziploc baggies, freeze them up, and that way they stay a lot longer. I'm not sure if you can freeze dry them. I'm sure you can. You can pretty much freeze dry anything.
Yeah, that might be, have to be something I look into. My wife does a lot of different stuff with the pumpkin. If we have an abundance, we planted them at the right time this year, so hopefully we will have an abundance come the fall. But I haven't even checked to see if they sprung up yet. I put them out in one of the fields, and I just said, screw it. If they grow, they grow. If they don't, they don't. And we'll see what happens. So I'm hoping I have a nice little pumpkin patch down there. But I'll tell you, one thing that started growing at random was watermelons did really well on my property. And it was literally because we were giving the chickens watermelons all the time, like the rinds. We were giving the chickens watermelons, and the seeds got fertilized, and they were just doing their thing, and we had random watermelons growing around the property.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you do, don't start with those cherry tomatoes. Those things go everywhere, and you will have cherry tomatoes everywhere on your property.
I probably planted about, geez, I'm trying to think now. There's got to be at least 50 cherry tomato plants that I planted this year.
You won't have to plant them ever again. They'll just grow everywhere.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather have them and not need them, though. You know, I'd rather them be out there, honestly.
Another thing that grows really well is passion fruit. And I used to just, you know, I'd eat a little bit of it and I'd chuck it off into the fence line. And then I realized that stuff's just taking over my fence line.
Passion fruit.
And it grows great down here in the South.
I'll have to try to plant some passion fruit.
Yeah, they have beautiful flowers. Another thing is, I mean, you're about the same elevation or latitude. So I found a Hardy Anna kiwi, and they're about the size of your thumb, and they don't have the fuzziness on them, so you can just pluck them right off the vine and eat them right off the vine. You don't have to peel them or nothing, and they taste great. But it's a vine like a grape. You really got to do a lot of maintenance to it because they will choke themselves out, just like a grape vine will choke themselves out.
So I got two kiwi starts this year that I planted, and they're growing. They're doing well. I don't think I probably won't see fruit on them for a few years, but I don't know if they're, now that you're bringing it up, they said Hardy Kiwi something, and I don't know if it said if it was a vine or a tree.
Well, most of the kiwis are vines, and you need a male to up to 8 females because they're wind pollinated. So one male will do up to 8 females if they're within. My male is on the one side of the house, and it fertilizes the females on the two other sides of the house. So they do very well.
So technically, I might not get anything. You will have fruit the
second year. What's that?
I said, so technically, I might not get any fruit at all. Because I might not have a male.
Yeah, you might have two females, or you might have two males. And males don't produce the fruit, so you need at least a female and a male.
So now I'm going to have to go back to the store and get like 4 more plants just to make sure.
More is better than less, right?
Well, yeah, I would say so. I mean, I could, if I have a tree that grows up and it's not doing anything, I could always cut it down, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess exactly. You're not going to know till you know, which kind of segues us back into what we were originally talking about was obtaining this knowledge, getting this while you can. What do you think? What do you think would be some key things that people should be getting vested into now while they can?
Do you have enough food in your pantry for when disaster strikes? Go to www.readywise.com and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off your entire food order. ReadyWise offers long-term food storage items such as chicken and beef that last up to 15 years. But that's not all. Go to www.readywise.com and use our code DOOM10 for 10% off of organic food as well. Offering chili, pasta, and soups, they have you covered. Did we mention they have fruits? Bananas, blueberries, strawberries, and apples, just to name a few. With many more food options for your home, car, or bug out bag, ReadyWise has your 6. Go to www.readywise.com now and utilize code DOOM10 for 10% off.
Definitely some sort of weapon. And, I mean, a knife, you should always have a knife on you anyways. You just never know when you're going to need to cut something or dig a splinter out or whatever. Knives are always great. Get a good quality knife. Don't buy that cheap knife down at, you know, the box store or, you know, the $5 knife. Get a good knife, you know, something that's going to last you for a long time. Something that's going to actually hold a good edge. Another good thing is know, I'm a gun person, so I have my daily carry. I have, you know, I listen to old podcasts with Big Daddy and you, and you guys are talking about all the different weapons stashed around your house so that in case you need them, they're there, because you never know. But it's also, like your friend said, I think you were talking about your Marine, about dry training. You know, one, make sure there's never any ammo in the room that you're going to dry train in, because somehow that bullet always slips inside the magazine.
Right. It's almost like it belongs there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, make sure nobody's on the other side of the wall if you're dry training, you know. And they make some great interactive stuff that's out there, you know, targets that pop up. You can put the app on your phone. You can, you know, pull your gun or pull the trainer and click on it, and you can see actually live time where your shot is actually being, because the first thing that happens under stress is you lose your dexterity, you know. And then there's the different types of stress. You know, my stress I love, because when I'm under stress, everything just slows down, and it's like, you know, in slow motion. So I can see everything that's going on. I can hear people, even though they're talking slow, you know, the bullets are whizzing it, but everything is in slow motion. Now, other people get tunnel vision. The one officer I was talking with, he had such tunnel vision and hypersensitivity that his partner, he didn't see him shooting, and he was shooting, but he was, the whole time he was wondering who's making federal beer, because he kept seeing these beer cans flying past him. He was so hypersensitive, he could actually read the back of the shell as it was passing in front of him.
Wow.
And it is, you know, you get that tunnel vision. Other things are, everything speeds up so quick, you don't even realize what happened. So if you're ever in a shooting situation before, you know, it hits the fan, don't say anything. Lawyer up right away. The cops are going to try to get as much information out of you because it's fresh, but you're in such a stressful situation that you're going to say something that may have not actually happened. You know, you thought it did. There's officers that pulled their gun, and, you know, afterwards they're like, how many times did you shoot? Oh, I let off two rounds, and they emptied their clip. There was a gentleman, I think in it was New Orleans or somewhere, it doesn't really matter, but he shot, the first shot was like 3 inches in front of his shoe, and then it was 6 feet in front, and then it hit the perp, or no, it hit a few inches in front of the perp, and then it hit him in the leg, which actually made him bleed out. He got one in the shoulder, and then three more up the side of the building, because one, as soon as he pulled and cleared the holster, he just started pulling the trigger, and he was just pulling it as he went up. So, you know, the dexterity, when you, you know, you hit that magazine release, you got to know where it is, muscle memory, because when you pull out the next magazine, you need to know where that hole is in that gun, because the dexterity is going to be gone. You're going to be flipping for that cover on your magazine holster, and you finally get the magazine out, then you're going to be trying to shove it in the gun, and you're going to be looking down and not paying attention to the person shooting at you. You know, then there's cover and concealment. You know, it's not Hollywood. You don't jump behind a couch and the guy shoots it 50,000 times, and then, you know, with one magazine, and then you jump up and you shoot him one time and he's dead. If you're hiding behind a couch, that's concealment. It's not cover. Those bullets will go through that couch. They will go through most everything in your house, except for maybe a fridge or a freezer. And that's only if it's full of food. So you need to practice and know the differences between cover and concealment. You know, if somebody breaks in your house tonight, and, you know, are you going to hide behind the wall? Well, let's go through drywall. You know, so you need to learn these things now so that you're prepared for any situation. And it doesn't even have to be after it hits the fan. It could be, you know, tonight or tomorrow. You never know.
Right. And, you know, I just, one thing I want to kind of point out to the listeners is that, guys, when we're talking about these things, they might sound a little bit outlandish, you know, like, why would I be in a shootout in my own home? A lot of home invasions end in gunfire, okay? It's whether it's by you or by the police, a lot of the times they end with bullets flying, right? The things we're talking about aren't even necessarily just shit hits the fan situations. You know, these are situations that happen in real everyday life. And how you're mentioning concealment versus cover, I think anybody out there that's like a true shooter that is training, that is doing shooting, I mean, they've shot at enough stuff to know what it's going to go through. They know not to jump behind the couch. You know what I'm saying?
But you watch it so many times in movies, that's in the back of your head. And people have died because they've got behind concealment and not covered. You know, they flip up the table thinking that, you know, piece of plywood is going to stop that bullet. You flip up the table in the movie and you're hiding behind the table. The bullets will go through the table. But the best thing to do is just put up on your front door, gun-free zone, so that way the burglars do not bring in a gun to your house.
Right. I totally understand what you're saying.
You know, because if it's a gun-free zone, they're not going to bring in their gun, right?
Right, exactly. So, you know, on the idea of the guns and everything else, guys, a good skill to get on par with right now is getting your first aid training up, right?
Yep.
Someone's not always going to be there to stop that bleed for you. Someone's not always going to be there to help you splint something, or you may have to do this for somebody else. So getting those skills up, I feel, is one of the key things to be doing right now, is get your first aid skills up.
Yep.
Fire is one of the most basic essentials for survival. Whether you're camping, hiking, or preparing for disaster, Blackbeard has your six. Go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase. Blackbeard offers stormproof matches, plasma arc lighters, fire starters, and ferro rods, all of which are great for your bug out bag. Once again, go to www.blackbeardfire.com and utilize code Doomsday for 10% off your entire purchase.
Take a stop the bleed class. Take first aid as far as, you know, how to revive, you know, somebody that's drowned, or, you know, they're having a heart attack. What do you do? You know, do you give them an aspirin or do you not? You know. And when you do CPR, if you're going to, you know, I think they changed it at one point where you don't do the chest compressions, and other times they don't breathe in their mouth. But either way, if you're going to do chest compressions, you need to do it hard enough that you hear the ribs crack, you know, and that's the first time you hear that, it's scary. And then you stop. And it's like, no, don't stop. Keep pumping. You know, so you can go down to most animal supply stores and you can get the blood stop powder, and it's a whole lot cheaper than ordering it for humans, you know, because it's for the animals, but it still works.
Right. And, you know, from what I've, well, actually, so the thing about the CPR now is now that they're saying that breaths are optional, okay. It's up to you whether you want to give somebody a breath or not.
Well, you, as long as you know who that person is, I'm going to do the breath. But if it's a stranger and I'm just being a good Samaritan, I might skip the breath. Unless it just becomes, you know, muscle memory, and it's probably muscle memory to me, but you don't know what people have gotten themselves into in their life. And do you really want to try to save somebody and then you end up with whatever they have, you know, whatever disease?
Exactly. And that would be my big fear too, about doing that. Like, great, I saved this guy's life. Now I got herpes. Awesome.
And they do sell mouth covers that you can do for CPR. And you can put that in your first aid pack in case, you know, that's something that really worries you.
Right. So I have, I've got one way shields for CPR that are, they are a little pouch that goes on your keychain. Mm-hmm. And you open it up and it's like a little, it's just a one way valve with a piece of plastic. You just stretch it over their face and it creates a barrier.
Yep.
So those are, that's also an option too, but there's 1,000 different things we could get into. With this, yeah. We brought up the gun thing, the first aid thing. We kind of beat the hell out of gardening. We definitely did that.
if you go into a bug in situation or a bug out situation, you know, you can get into a whole different, you know, those are topics in their own, but it depends on, you know, are you going to bug in? What kind of supplies do you need? And I have a lot of friends that are like, okay, I'm stocking up on ammo, on gold, silver, brass, lead, whiskey, and tobacco, because that's my trading items. That's what I'm going to use to trade, because they don't have the knowledge to grow their own food. So they're hoping that they can trade with people. I'm like, well, that's great, but you just told me and how many other people that's what your stash is, and are you going to be able to defend that? You know, if you're in a subdivision, you know, that's not a great place to be if something goes down, because now all your neighbors are going to be hungry along with you, and everybody knows you because, hey, you're the prepper guy in the neighborhood. So they're all going to start. People get really strange when they get hungry, and they get worse when their kids are hungry. So they will do anything to feed their children.
No, I agree with you. That's the one thing I always tell people. You might not be a killer right now, but whenever your kids are starving to death, you will become a killer. Because you will kill to feed those children. You will kill to feed your babies. And I know the last thing I'd like to see is my kids being in pain or something wrong. I couldn't imagine one of my little kids coming to me saying, I'm hungry, Daddy. I need something to eat. And it's been days. Yeah, I'm going to kill someone for a loaf of bread.
Hopefully not. Hopefully you'll go hunting first. But hunting is one of those things. You know, if it hits the fan, you're going to be hunting. Your neighbor's going to be hunting. Everybody's going to be hunting. And it's not like back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, when it was easy to hunt because there was actually more animals than there are humans. But now we've overpopulated so many areas that, you know, you can hunt coyotes in Hollywood, but it's, you know, a lot like the raccoons. They're still big time up in Michigan where it was. There's hardly any raccoons down here in East Tennessee. I hardly ever see them, you know, and I don't see a whole lot of wildlife anymore. Where up in Michigan, we have, you know, way too many deer. And in Southeast Ohio, when I was living there, you go in and pull a permit, and if you're a landowner, you can take 9 deer. I'm like, doesn't matter if it's a buck or doe. No, you get 9 deer, and if that's not enough, then come back and I'll write you a ticket for 9 more. I'm like, holy crap, in Michigan, I only get 1 buck for the entire season. You know, so there's certain areas that you need to know your area. You know, is there enough wildlife that you can hunt? Is there a running stream or a lake that's clean to drink from in your area? Do you have, you know, is there a hot topic where somebody might take over, or, you know, they might bomb it because, you know, Oak Ridge is not that far from us, and everybody knows if they bomb that, you know, I might not survive over here, even though I'm a good hour away, you know. So you need to look at your area. You know, if it hits the fan, is there a warehouse that's a distribution center for food? That would be a great place to go, you know. But then again, everybody else is going to go there to get the food also.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the other thing. While people, two things that you mentioned. First one is the hunting thing. Yes, obviously know how to hunt, know how to take game, but obviously knowing how to successfully field dress a deer and preserve that meat is going to be one of your biggest assets, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's great to go out and take that deer, but if you don't know how to cook the meat, if you don't know how to preserve the meat, if you don't know how to field dress that deer, it's all going to be a waste.
Get your tickets to Prep Stock before they're gone. Go to prepstock.ticketleap.com today. Being held in beautiful Townsend, Tennessee, this community-focused survival event is taking place October 6th through the 9th. Explore the world of homesteading and survival. Escape the sheeple and find your people at Prep Stock. For more detailed information, go to prepstock.ticketleap.com and buy your tickets now. Want to increase your chances of survival? Learn new survival skills such as herbal remedies, beekeeping, pressure canning, and much more. For a sense of security and protection in uncertain times, buy your tickets today at prepstock.ticketleap.com. Tickets to this event are limited and will be gone soon. Don't miss out on this doomtastic time. Buy your tickets now at prepstock.ticketleap.com. Bug out to Prep Stock this October.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And my father-in-law, he grew up in Germany just after the war. And so when I killed a pig, there was a bunch of stuff that I would throw out because I just didn't deem it edible. But he was constantly yelling at me about throwing it in the slop bucket. And, you know, he took in the tongue, he took in the brain, he took in the jaws off the pig, the pig's feet, the tail. I'm like, I'm just throwing all this stuff away. But after it hits the fan, now I know how to, you know, utilize all that stuff. And even the bones for bone stock, you know, that's a great protein source for you.
Right. No, it is definitely. And the other thing you mentioned I wanted to touch on a little bit is when you were mentioning the food distribution warehouses, that would be the place to go, but other people might be going there as well. Guys, think about these areas that where you live and think about the idea that a lot of people, I mean, here it's a given. People are going to hit up Walmart. That's where they're going to go when shit hits the fan here. They're going to go to Walmart. They're going to steal or buy anything that they can, and then they're going to move on. But look in your area and figure out what are going to be these problematic areas to go to, right? There's going to be people out there that have this mindset of they're going to gravitate to where the supplies are, they're going to take what they need, and then they're going to leave, right? But if 1,000 people have that idea, you're going to have competition. And if it's the apocalypse, you're going to have dangerous competition. So maybe you learn now while you have the time where the safe places to go would be, where the areas to get food are going to be least populated, right? Like, no one's going to the farmer's corn silo, but if you're sneaking out there and getting 5-gallon buckets of corn out of the silo to lure deer into your property, you might be better off than going, putting yourself in harm's way, going down to the local distribution center, you know?
And there's one of the scenarios that I run for people when I train them. And it's like, you know, where would you go for all the supplies? And they're like, well, Walmart, it has everything. I'm like, okay, so let's say you got a 5-man team and you're going to Walmart to get supplies for your camp or your compound or just your family. So what are you need to have a list before you even go in that building. And then you need to know how to get in that building safely, you know, because there may be other people in there. There may be people just squatting in there because they don't have shelter. You know, they were forced out of their home. So are you going in there? Are you getting medical supplies? Are you getting whiskey? Because, you know, that's going to hold for, you can use it for antibiotics and everything, or trading. You're going to get some food. If you got kids, are you going to get diapers? Are you going to get formula? You know, you need to have all this stuff in a list. And when you go in there, you know, do you, as soon as you break in into the building or step into the building, do your 5-man team just dissipate and you all go grab your own stuff? Well, what happens if there's, you know, 5 people over in aisle 3 and your 1 man out of your 1-man or your 5-man team goes to that aisle? Now he's in trouble. So even afterwards, now you get out, there's a bunch of parked cars out there. How do you, sorry about the dog, how do you get out of the building safely without, you know, just running out into the parking lot? And now the parking lot has, you know, who knows who might be sleeping in a vehicle, and they see you pushing these shopping carts with all this supplies that they were too afraid to go in the building. And now they can just grab everything and anything from you because they're hiding in a car and you don't see them until you pass past them.
Right. No, and that's a big deal. And I mean, the one thing I think that everybody's going to kind of not really think about is every single one of these situations we talk about are unpredictable situations. They are uncontrollable, right? You can never sit there and predict what the outcome is going to be, right? And that's one of the biggest reasons why it's good to have a plan for anything in general, because you can't predict that outcome.
Yep. And that's why I always tell people, you know, you have your plan A. Plan A never works. So you have plan B. Plan B usually doesn't work fully. So you have plan C, D, E, F, and G. And even off of each, you know, plan B, you have several, you know, sub plans. You know, okay, if I go into the Walmart and there's nobody in there, great, we're coming out. And I actually have people run through the scenario. You know, we park a bunch of cars, you know, and yeah, there's people underneath the car, or there's somebody in the car, or, you know, there's all these different scenarios. Everything doesn't work out the way you want it to. It'd be nice if it did, but have multiple plans, and have multiple plans as far as what kind of disaster hits you. Is it going to be a tornado? Is it going to be no electricity? Is it going to be a flood? Or what is it going to be? You just don't know until it actually happens.
Exactly, 100%. So, B-Man, we're about at our time frame. We're about to get out of here. Do you have a final message you want to send out to the listeners?
Train now. Don't wait until after it hits the fan and rely on somebody to teach you then, because they're not going to have the time, and they're going to get either frustrated, or they're already stressed out because they're lacking sleep. They're stressed because their family's hungry or might possibly go hungry. You know, they may be dehydrated. Don't rely on someone else to solve all your problems after it hits the fan. Get as much skills under your belt now when you have the time, you know, you can go to YouTube, learn a bunch, and then go take a class, learn a little bit better on hands-on. You know, there's always something out there that.
Emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.